Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
There's an old story about a dog that was carrying a bone. He paused to look at his own reflection in the water. He grabbed at the bone's reflection, and he lost the bone that he had. I think that roughly illustrates what the Colossian letter is all about. It tells of a people who had Christ but stood in danger of losing him while they were in pursuit of something more exciting and more sensational. Whatever you deem this Colossian heresy to be, Paul called it an empty and deceitful philosophy. It held an attraction that was particularly exciting for would-be intellectuals. It had the power to enslave. It had the power to take those who questioned and make them something that they didn't want to be. In fact, they were in danger of being caught and enslaved by that which they were chasing. I think that there are two dominant thoughts in the letter or the book that we call Colossians. First, the all-sufficiency of Jesus Christ. And second, that Christ dwells in the Christian, and that Christ influences his actions in all relationships in life. I want you to know carefully that I did not say that us having the Christ dwelling in us allows us to perform miracles, doesn't allow us to do things that could be done in the first century to verify the Word of God. But Christ dwelling within us makes us different. The Word dwelling within our hearts makes us a peculiar people, a people that can let a light shine that influences the way God would have us to influence. There are four dangerous teachings, I believe, that we can identify at Colossae. First, there was a false religion, a religion called Gnosticism. A religion that was beginning to take hold in the first century, and it seems as though especially was that true in Colossae. One danger of that doctrine was its failure to do justice to the person and the work of Jesus Christ. People that believed in Gnosticism regarded Jesus as just a one among many, one intermediary, and no matter how great he was only a partial revelation of the true God. They also believed that the work of creation was carried out by an inferior God. Those Gnostics denied the humanity of Christ. Paul dealt with those false teaching by writing those words that we find in the first chapter of Colossians, verses 15 through 17. There the Apostle Paul writes that Christ is the image of the invisible God. He is not secondary. He is not unworthy. He is the image of the invisible God. Paul also writes in those verses, "By whom were all things created, and by him all things consist." Paul affirms, being empowered by the Holy Spirit to write the words of God, that Jesus Christ created all things. And not only did he create all things, he keeps all things going. Paul also stated, "It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." Chapter 1 of Colossians, verse 19. Those truths set forth the total adequacy of Jesus Christ. And that doesn't matter whether it's then in the first century or now in the 21st century. A second danger arose from the influence of philosophy. Paul said in verse 8 of chapter 2, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." The Gnostics had a great intellectual pride. I would suppose if we compared their intellectualism to that which we find today in so many theologians that think that they're greater than what they are, that you would find many striking similarities. They refined away the gospel. They made it a philosophy that they declared was unnecessary. They substituted for it a philosophy that they said was necessary, and that in addition to the teaching of Christ. They wanted to introduce into Christianity a higher knowledge. That higher knowledge was based on Greek and Roman philosophies. It was based on religions of the East. They were not content with God's Word. They were not satisfied with the revelation of God. The real threat of that vain philosophy came from the dissatisfaction on the part of some with the simplicity of the gospel. I believe that there's a dissatisfaction today with regard to some for the simplicity of the gospel. They feel that if it isn't hard to understand, if you don't have to go to some kind of a scholar in order to understand what the Lord would have you do, that it must not be important, that it must not be right. In Colossae, they sought a higher level of knowledge. They became easy prey to those empty and deceitful philosophies. So the Apostle Paul reminds them in chapter 2 and verse 3 that in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. My friends, stop and think for a moment. If all treasure is in Christ, what can we learn outside of Christ that would be treasure? To ask is to answer. Another danger to the Colossians arose from the influence of those who insisted on observing rites and customs of the Jewish religion. Paul said in chapter 2 and verse 16, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath days." There was a significant number of Jews during the first century that had trouble breaking away from the law of Moses. In fact, in Acts 15 and verse 1, we see attempts in the early church to make circumcision binding upon all people. It isn't surprising, is it, to see efforts made to involve Christians in Jewish rites and customs? But Paul said that these things are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ, chapter 2 and verse 17. The false teachers were either ignorant of that, or they just disregarded it and tried to limit the freedom that one has in Christ. They regarded the gospel as inadequate. Let me just stop right there and ask you, do you regard the gospel of Jesus Christ as adequate? Paul argued that one who is dead to the world, that being in Christ, is free from such human philosophies that bind. How do you feel about that? The worship of angels was another dangerous teaching that the Colossians were exposed to and fell prey to. That's outlined in chapter 2 and verse 18. Apparently, the false teachers that believed that doctrine faked a humility which was expressed in the worshiping of angels. What that worship was, I just don't know. But I tell you, we find the same implication here as in other errors mentioned that Christ and the gospel are inadequate, that you have to look somewhere other than Christ to fulfill yourself religiously. Jesus taught in John 4 and verse 23, "The hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him." To reject that guide for worship is to reject Jesus Christ. Well, let's summarize for a moment the first section of the book of Colossians. The dangers that are involved there in Colossae were the following. One, a failure to recognize the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Two, being enslaved by empty and deceitful philosophies. Three, being bound by rites and customs of the Jewish religion. 4, losing hold of Christ while being involved in angel worship. The implication in all of those are the same, and that is that Christ and His gospel are not adequate to the needs of man to achieve eternal life. I would just tell you, everything is in Jesus Christ. We must die to the world and become in Jesus Christ. We must put on Jesus Christ in order to be saved eternally. Those who choose not to follow the direction that Jesus Christ has given us with regards to becoming a part of Him will not be successful in their spiritual endeavors. The Lord instructs us specifically that we are to go to His Word in order to receive wisdom, that we are to go to His Word in order to receive instruction. Study, the Bible tells us. Study the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you want to have the kind of faith that is pleasing to Jesus Christ, you've got to get it through the study of God's Word. There's no other source. We must believe that which we study in the Bible. Belief is necessary to salvation, John 3 and verse 16. We must allow that belief that we get through the study of God's Word to propel us in faith to a repentance. We must make up our mind to do it God's way rather than man's way. That's not an easy thing to do. It's not easy because we have to put man in the background. We have to deny ourselves and let Jesus Christ fill our person. We have to understand that those things that proceed from our mouth come from our heart, and we must fill our heart with the teaching and the wisdom and the love of Jesus Christ. So then we see that the Bible teaches us that we are to study the Word of God. We're to believe that which we study, and we are to repent of our sins. But that's not the only thing necessary to become a Christian. We are told that we are to confess the name of Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible tells us that we are to confess His name with our mouth before men. Confession is not that thing that we get with some other human being and tell them the things that we've done wrong. That's not the kind of confession that's talked about in the Bible. It's only to God that we confess those kinds of things. Confession means to acknowledge. We must acknowledge that from our heart we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Who would not stand before man and make such an acknowledgement? And then, according to Acts 2 and verse 38 and Mark 16 and verse 16, we must be baptized in water for the forgiveness of our sins. Isaiah 59 and verse 2 talks about sin separating man from God. That separation cannot be healed, the Bible teaches, except by a perfect sacrifice. Jesus Christ made that perfect sacrifice when He came to earth and died so that we might have the forgiveness of sins. In order to avail ourselves of that sacrifice, we must be baptized in water for the forgiveness of our sins. Acts 2 and verse 47 says that when we do that, we will be added to the family of the Lord. That's how we become Christians. That's how we achieve the blessings that come from the adequacy of Jesus Christ and His gospel. Throughout the letter of Colossians, first, especially I think in the first two chapters, Paul sets Christ forth as all sufficient to the spiritual needs of man. Listen to chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him. If you're complete, what else do you need? If you have all the fullness of the Godhead bodily through Jesus Christ, what else do you need? What else is there that would be a benefit to us spiritually? Errors found in Colossae can be found today. All around us we see new cults that are rising and claiming to be something special, something in addition to what was given to mankind by God in the first century. We have all kinds of ologies and all kinds of isms. They're rising at an increasing rate because people do not believe in the adequacy of Jesus Christ. I have on the shelf of my my library a book that lists the denominations within the United States, over 300 different religions within our boundaries. The Bible says there is one, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, and Ephesians 1 verse 21. Big difference. All of those religions that are not the one talked about and identified in the Bible are false religions. They provide false hope. They are begun because people feel an inadequacy in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those false religions promise so much, and they provide so little. There were many in the city of Colossae that were dissatisfied, unhappy. They were spiritually hungry. They were eager for new and sensational experiences. They were a lot like the Jews in Jerusalem when Jesus Christ entered into that city before the crucifixion. They were looking for something of the physical rather than something spiritual. They were just dissatisfied. And today is the same. People are dissatisfied. People are disillusioned by religion. People are disappointed by religion and the things that they see those that claim to be religious people involved in. People that are looking everywhere except to Jesus Christ, looking for a new meaning, looking for a sensational meaning, looking for volatile experiences. You know, we sometimes say that it's the young that fall prey to that more than anyone else, and I wonder. It's not just the young that are seeking a new and real religious experience. Look at the numbers that are going into the charismatic movement. Numbers that include doctors and lawyers and businessmen that have high levels of education. Even preachers in some events falling prey to the need, they say, of something more, something sensational. That's why the Apostle Paul appeals to the Colossians. Not a need to find something outside of Christ. The need is to better understand what we have in Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. We don't need to find something new outside of Christ. We need to understand better what we have inside of Christ. What does that mean with respect to me and you today? Here in the year of 2009, what does that mean to us? All of these things about which we've been speaking in the first century in that city called Colossae. Well, sometimes we've become so involved with doctrine, I think that we forget that there are practical matters and how this doctrine of Christ is supposed to influence our lives. Certainly, that's a today kind of application. The Spirit of God was not negligent, telling us how to apply these facts for our betterment. I believe that in chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Colossians, we see that Paul dealt with doctrinal issues. But in chapters 3 and 4, he deals with the application of that doctrine in Christian living. And I hope that you will join us in our next program, and that you will see in that how these truths that we've brought up from the Bible today are meaningful to us in everyday living. What are you doing about your soul? How is your spiritual well-being? Are you active in following Christ? Are you active in those things that you say you believe in? At the Monte Vista Church of Christ, we assemble for worship every Sunday morning at 9:30. Our worship is preceded by a Bible study that lasts about 40 or 45 minutes. And then we participate in those acts of worship as authorized by the New Testament. We sing praises to God. We partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. We give of our means as God instructs us to. We pray to God. God said through His revelation that The prayers of a righteous man availeth much. We pray to God in our worship service. And then we have a sermon that lasts 30 minutes or so, a sermon that is designed to motivate us to further study. I would be the first to tell you, and I'm the preacher here, that I don't know the answer to every question. I deal in those things that are revealed by God, and I try to present them in such a way that we are motivated to study His Word more and to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We assemble for worship every Sunday morning. Sunday evening, we assemble for worship again at 6 o'clock. That service doesn't have a Bible class that precedes it. We have in that service an opportunity to consider more information given to us by God that will affect our lives positively. Then we reassemble on Wednesday night for a Bible study. That happens at 7 o'clock. We just open the Bible, and we see what God's message is to us. We don't use a creed book or some kind of a manual. We just open the Bible and study it because we believe that that's what God wants us to do. We invite you to come and to check us out, to investigate what we do here at the Monte Vista Church of Christ. Bring your Bible. Check those things that you hear taught with the Bible and see if they match. Allow us to give you an answer to the questions that you might have religiously, and make sure that that answer we give to you comes from the Bible and not from our own ideas about what the Bible says. There's a standing invitation to you, if you're interested in spiritual things, to come and visit us. We don't ask for your money. We don't want you to contribute your money to us. The contribution of money, the collection of money, is the responsibility of the members here, and we take care of that ourselves. We'd just like to have you come and study the Bible with us because we're concerned about your soul. We'd like for you to hear the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can access any of the lessons that have been presented on this Go and Teach Bible study program by coming to our website, which is www.montavistacoc.com. When you get into that website, it's pretty well self-explanatory on how to go to the part of it that allows you to order any sermon that has been preached on this program over since its inception about 2 years ago. There's no charge for any of those. We'll get them to you at no charge at just as quickly as we can. We want to share with you those things that are the most important. Well, that's about all of the time that we have to devote to our lesson today. Again, I hope that you'll tune in next week as we look at the second half of the book of Colossians and see there the application of the doctrine about which we've studied today that was found in that church. I think that you'll see applications that will make a difference in your life. My prayer for us, for not only you but for me, this week is to have unusual opportunity to let a bright light shine for Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.